Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is Thursday, January 2nd, 2020. I want to welcome all of you to a brand new year. Well, mostly new. It did officially start yesterday, but today we've still got kind of the fresh off the showroom floor smell on the year. And I want to thank both of my panelists for joining me today. John Martellaro, thank you for being here. Hi, John.
Hi. How can that be a mostly all new?
Well, you know, mostly.
It's
you know,
all new.
Well, we're day like in, so it's not, you know.
Ever seen a TV show advertised that said partially all new?
No. But it's not all new because we had a whole day of it yesterday, was my point, that we didn't talk about. So, also here to talk to me in the shiny new year, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
I have absolutely no idea what day it is.
No one does. I have heard this called both Betwixtmas and one from Charlotte's neck of the woods, Crimbo Limbo, which I thought was it's a little funner to say. And I enjoy it very much.
You started the show by saying it was Thursday, the 2nd of January. Could be.
Yeah.
Who knows?
What is that in the UK, Charlotte?
Don't
you use Roman numerals or something?
Who knows? Could be any day. Pick one.
Well, Charlotte's about to tell you what she uses, and I don't want to have to edit the show, so we're going to move along. First of all, Charlotte, I want to talk to you about, I know we're sort of coming out of gift-giving season, and we're about to edit, I opened my credit card bill and went into a coma season, and but you want to talk to us a little bit about an impending purchase of yours.
Right, so I bought gifts for family members over Christmaker.
Yes.
And now I want to buy myself a present.
Treat yourself. That's what I hear.
Exactly.
All right.
I looked in the Apple store, which is always obviously dangerous.
That's a bad idea.
In December, obviously dangerous. Yes. Then I saw the shiny 2019 iPad, the 10.2 inch one.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice and shiny.
It is.
So I think I need to buy one.
You might. I could see that.
No,
so we've talked about this a little bit before because we talked about how you you did have a laptop and you bought a mini in 2019.
Correct.
Both shiny and pretty. I believe you upgraded to the shiny and pretty package for your mini.
Yeah, I did. And I really am still very happy with my purchase.
Yes. But occasionally it would be nice to have a satellite machine or, you know, some sort of like auxiliary slab of glass where you can take notes and
exactly. And also I think that iPadOS has upgraded so much now that it's not just a kind of enlarged version of iOS.
Yeah.
And you're kind of clunking around on something that's basically a bit like a phone blown up. It's a pretty sophisticated operating system now.
Indeed.
And for things like writing, for publishing articles, even editing photographs, it's now more than capable of doing all the, you know, even editing quick clips of video,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff that iPad is now more than capable of doing.
Yes.
I also really want it for things like reading Apple News Plus. And so well done, Apple. Your services have really driven a hardware purchase. Who might have thought that was your plan? And so, but for things like that, you know, sometimes it's nice to, you know, okay, I've got my iPhone I can do emails on. I've always had a little Chromebook, which I've got a lot of use out of. But I think, you know, there are a lot of applications and a lot of use cases where I think, it would be really nice to have a tablet. And I waited and waited because we sort of suspected there was going to be a new iPad last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of held out to see what was on offer. And it felt to me like the 2019 iPad was a pretty serious piece of kit. It wasn't a total overhaul by any stretch of the imagination, but there were some properly good upgrades to the features and the power. And I like the size. I think 10.2 inches is a good tablet size.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just lots of things I liked about the latest iteration. And when I played with it in the store, it was really, you know, it was typically lovely, you know, aesthetically and how it worked. And
once you get your hands on one, you totally want it. Yeah.
Sure. And so there are a lot. So kind of moving towards that direction, obviously once we deal with the kind of January, December credit card bill situation.
Now, I can attest to the, well, mostly to the 10.2 inch being great, because I have the 2017 iPad Pro, before the last one before they went USB-C, and it's 10.5 inch, and it's a really great size. I can hold it in one hand comfortably. I can flip it sideways and watch a movie on it.
Yeah, that's another thing I want it for, watching video like in bed and stuff.
Yes, it is perfection for that. I really enjoy it. I enjoy putting on a Star Wars and while I'm doing other work or doing something else, and it's really nice for that. The screen is beautiful, of course. It's very perky. Speed-wise, even still, like, I don't have any complaints about the speed or anything, even on the one that I have, which is not the newest. It's now, I got mine for Christmas 2017, so mine is officially now 2 years old. Happy birthday, little buddy. And I really enjoy it, but I know part of what you wanted to talk about, and I know John will attest to, John, you have the larger iPad, right?
I have a 12.9 first generation.
Obviously, John bought the biggest one available.
Of course he did, because John likes to measure all of his screens in acres.
There's a story behind that, and I've told it, and that is I was planning on converting all my magazine subscriptions over to a 12.9 inch display.
Yes.
Utter failure. Did not work.
We talked a lot about it at the time, yeah, I remember. We did. Yeah. But part of that purchase, Charlotte, I know, like, there's basically, we know there's an iPad on your horizon. Like, that part is not the part that's up for debate. But we were having a conversation in the meeting about Apple Pencil, because we were talking a little bit about the accessories that you might want for that iPad.
So this also goes back to me playing in the store, and I started testing. Just, they have an Apple Pencil now on display. They're obviously trying to do it all as a bundle.
Yes.
And I hadn't really had a chance to play with an Apple Pencil before, so I had a play. Mm-hmm. And look, it's a nice piece of kit. I get it. I know people who absolutely love the iPad Pro Apple Pencil combination. They, you know, scribble on presentations and spreadsheets and all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. There's lots of work use cases where people really like it. And for me, one of the big things I would be interested in is if it was useful for, say, editing a document. Mm-hmm. So basically, I started playing with it and I was like, this is really nice. But is it nice enough to spend £90 more? And I believe in the US, the version one is $99. Mm-hmm. So it's basically, give or take, it's pounds for dollars.
Yeah.
So I was like, it's not cheap. It's not super expensive. Actually, it might be, yeah. It's not, but, you know, it's a significant amount of money.
Yes.
Is it worth it? And I sort of left, like, it would be nice, but is it just a nice extra, not essential? And that's kind of the way I left feeling about it. And, like, the guy in the store gave me quite a nice demonstration, and I can see that they're really lovely for hand, you know, for handwriting apps and things.
Yes,
but, you know, I walk around with an old school reporter's notebook, for instance, and hand scroll everything. So I was just trying to work out the kind of use case.
Charlotte, I think the question is, because of the design deficiencies of the first generation Apple Pencil, because it's so awkwardly designed, I would only buy one if you really needed the special capabilities that it has in pairing with certain apps that are not available with a standard stylus.
Right. That makes a lot of sense.
And for people playing along at home, what John is talking about is that the first generation Apple Pencil is perfectly round. So if you set it on a surface which is not level, it will roll right off the end of that surface with impunity. It's not great. Ask me how I know. The second generation Apple Pencil solves a bunch of the issues that the first generation had. First of all, one side is flat. It includes an area, I guess, on the flat side where you can sort of double tap and have different controls available to you. So if you're a person who does a lot of drawing, or Charlotte, in your case, if you're doing handwriting, maybe you want to switch colors or something in their apps that make it so you just double tap the flat side of the pencil and you can start, you can change colors or switch to the eraser or whatever you want to do. And also, the charging happens by it magnetizing to the side of the iPad Pro, because the second gen pencil
That's
only works with the Pro.
Because the first generation battery always died on me when I needed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
And you have to plug it into the bottom of your iPad like it's a charging cable and let it kind of dangle out the side until it's full. Now, it doesn't take long, but it's what we like to call a high PETA factor.
It doesn't have a strong battery life.
Yeah. I have generally had in using one. I do use the first-gen pencil. But I generally have found that, you know, a few minutes charge is usually all it needs. You know, and I got distracted by notifications anyway when I opened up my iPad, so I can clear all that stuff out. And by the time I'm done, my pencil is charged enough to do whatever it is I wanted to do.
So my biggest query, and I suspect you'll both have opinions on this.
What?
No. Yeah. Is, particularly maybe John, is it worth it for the number of applications with which it is compatible? Now, for what I mean by that is, I think I tested it with Pixelmator Pro, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think you can even, I think you can draw in Pixelmator Pro with an Apple Pencil,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think you can edit and resize documents and stuff, like pictures with it. So obviously it does work with things like Microsoft Word and Pages and I mm-hmm. think some other note-taking apps.
Yes.
Obviously Moleskine has an app specifically designed for it.
Yeah.
For example.
Notability is another, and I use GoodNotes that I scribble right. notes in by hand on the screen with a pencil, and it's great. Yeah.
Right. So all that stuff is great. But is it enough is my question. And having played with it, I couldn't see enough apps. Like, you're only going to use one note-taking app and one writing app, right? You're not mm-hmm. going to have, obviously on a display iPad, they have loads of different apps on there.
Right.
But a normal user is not going to use all that stuff.
Right.
It just doesn't seem to me like they've quite got developers building enough apps for it to make it worthwhile.
I think you're right, and I think you'll find it.
Did you record that, Kelly? Can we
get
that
recording? Yes.
$99.
I will cut that out and give it to you as John's text tone, and if John ever sends you a message, it will say, Charlotte, I think you're right.
Great. At £99, you have to just about dedicate yourself to living in the app that exploits the pencil's capabilities.
Because
mm-hmm. for 99% of your other work, a normal stylus will work just fine.
No,
and you won't have to charge the battery.
Is it, for example, better value to spend money on a nicer keyboard, for example?
I think for you it might be, but I would also offer the alternative of, there are plain old ordinary styluses that don't connect or anything that you can use instead if holding a pencil in your hand, you know, is the way you want to interact. What I would suggest giving a serious consideration to, and I'm sure there's somewhere that will have these on display, is the Logitech crayon. And the reason is it's about half the price here anyway. Like, I looked it up on Amazon before we started the show, and it was $45 for the Logitech crayon. It is sort of an oval shape, so it won't roll off the desk. It has a charging port the way the iPad and the iPhone have a charging port. So you plug the cable into it and it's fine. It says on Logitech's website that a 2-minute charge provides 30 minutes of writing time. And it works with loads of different apps. It does not, the big trade-off here is that it doesn't support pressure sensitivity. So if you press a little harder on the screen, you don't get a thicker line. You can tilt it sideways, like at an angle, like you can with an analog pencil. You know, if you turn it sideways, you get a little thicker line. You can do that, but it doesn't have the pressure sensitivity piece. So if you think you want it part of the time for some things once in a while, maybe something like a $50 purchase is a little easier to take. And then if you don't use it, it's not the end of the world because it wasn't like something you spent a ton of money on. It was just something you spent some money on.
Yeah, it feels a bit less galling, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I do know people who have enjoyed it very much, who use it, who, because they're not people who draw. Like Jeff Gamet might enjoy this for certain things, but it isn't going to work for him a lot of the time because he really wants the pressure sensitivity. He draws stuff all the time, and it's for him the Apple Pencil and all of the pressure sensitivity that it can read by how hard you press the pencil on the screen is super great. But for general stuff, he's not necessarily going to be, this may not be the right tool for the job that he's trying to do. But for you, since all you want is a line and you don't care, like I pressed a tiny bit harder here, so it should be a tiny bit thicker. Maybe the Logitech crayon is something to consider.
In my experience, you have grand plans and then you buy hardware and then you find out that time and circumstance don't allow you to exploit the ambitions that you had, at least in my case. And mm-hmm. you end up wishing you hadn't gone overboard.
I think that's pretty good advice, Jim.
Yes. And we can talk about hardware on another show, like additional accessories, things like that, as the event horizon of your iPad, Charlotte, gets a little closer.
I'm pretty excited.
Because I have strong feelings about keyboards, so that's probably a conversation
we
want to have.
Yes, and I think I do as well.
Yes.
Charlotte, you can always upgrade later. You can get your new iPad, use a regular stylus for $10, play with it, enjoy it, use the stylus. And then the day comes when the dawning arrives where you can't do what you need to do without an Apple Pencil or a crayon. Then make a decision.
Yeah. That is one nice thing about the ecosystem, at least on the Apple side, is that you don't have to make that decision right away. And if you want something later, like you don't have to buy it all at once or never get one ever. So you do have that option of doing something later. Another thing that we want to talk about, as we discussed briefly at the top of the show, Crimbo Limbo. This is a time when a lot of people hang out and watch television. And it turns out, as Charlotte can tell us, a lot of people are not watching something tried and true. They're all watching original content.
I think, well, so there's a couple of caveats to that.
I did paint it with a pretty broad brush.
Yeah, it is broad brush, but you're not wrong. Netflix released its most popular new releases of 2019. And that's important to note. It's the new stuff that was added to Netflix last year.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that top 10 list was dominated by its own original content.
Mm-hmm.
So Murder Mystery with Jennifer Aniston and Adam Sandler, that was number one. Then there was Stranger Things 3 and Six Underground.
Underground came out really late last year. For it to be on the list, I think is pretty impressive. Because that means a whole bunch of people basically all watched it like in the last week and a half or something.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then, so there was The Incredibles 2, that was at number four. And that was, I think, that was the first non-Netflix item that was in the list.
Okay.
And then that was followed by The Irishman, which was obviously in cinemas and on Netflix at the same time.
Yes.
So that was your top five. And then obviously there was a few more that they nested. And what struck me as interesting is that about this is that a lot when Apple kind of explained Apple TV Plus to us, we were like, okay, cool. But is there enough content? Like, we had this discussion a lot on the show.
Yes, then what? This is the question I kept asking.
Exactly.
I watch the five shows Apple has out right now, then what?
I can answer that in my case. I have not had a problem with running out of content on Apple TV Plus because I'm watching other stuff on other channels, Amazon Prime and Disney. And
because when you do run out, you just watch Dickinson again.
It's overleaved. It's interleaved so that I'm spacing stuff out on Apple TV. I haven't begun to exhaust what's on Apple TV Plus after.
And I suspect that's a fairly common use case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But my other point is I found it interesting because people obviously want new stuff. Like, as I say, we don't know. These are all the new releases. So the example I used in the piece was Friends. Mm-hmm. There's obviously the Big Bang Theory or, you know, a host of popular shows on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And we don't know how many people are watching them because Netflix doesn't really give us the numbers, and they've been out before 2019.
Yeah.
But even so, for the new stuff to be what is really attracting attention, and not just new things that go on there, original content, kind of makes me, you know, think Apple may have got something more right than we thought about only doing original content. Because if you want to watch Friends, there's lots of different ways to do that, right?
Yeah.
You don't need Netflix to watch Friends. It's a nice extra, but, you know, you can watch it on Comedy Central. Mm-hmm. And so on and so forth. But if you want to watch those shows I just named, if you want to watch Murder Mystery or Stranger Things, you have to have Netflix.
Yes.
And that is what draws in the viewers. If you want to watch The Morning Show, you have to have Apple TV Plus. You don't have another choice. If you want to watch Mr. Robot, you needed to have Amazon Prime Video, right?
Yeah.
This, like, it is the original content that makes people subscribe, I think. And I think Apple understood this, and I'm only beginning to appreciate quite that they might have got that right.
I think Disney used The Mandalorian to good effect for that same reason.
Yes, I think Disney Plus, I think you're right, I think Disney Plus is the slight exception, just because people are always going to pay for princesses and Star Wars.
Yep.
But you're right, it made something a bit of an extra. I think you're right.
It's also very interesting that they did it weekly instead of dumping it all at once. So it was over months, because it was, there were 8 episodes, so it came out over 2 months. So you had to be a subscriber for 2 months in order to watch it as it happened, as opposed to dumping, you know, which showing up and watching all of it at once the day it came out.
Which one was that?
The Mandalorian.
Oh, I'm so far behind. I'm only in episode 4, so I'm not up against the weekly limit.
Ah, well, it came out, it did come out every Friday, except the week that Rise of Skywalker was released, it came out Wednesday instead of Friday. The last episode came out December 27th. So, yeah. So, for people who were watching it...
What episode was that? Was that episode 6?
For Rise of Skywalker, yeah. No. It was 7
no,
and then
for
8.
Mandalorian.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. It came out every Friday. You could watch it at the time. It was... but it was, you know, something that was episodic. Like, when you... Like the olden times when you used to watch a show on a television station and you would get one episode a week. It was like that.
It's just dawning on us now that people are interleaving, maybe, as we've discussed, likely. And I wonder if Apple took that into account when I was fretting about the volume of the content, because there was a lot of discussion that I read about binge watching. And people would sit down with what was available on Apple TV Plus and binge watch, and they'd be done and mm-hmm. wash their hands and say, okay, I'm done with Apple TV in 2 weeks over right. Apple TV Plus. I don't think that's really happening now that we've discussed it.
Yeah, at least right now, I don't think it is. And of course, there's stories going out that are out now about how, like, everybody's canceling Disney Plus after The Mandalorian's over. And, like, I'm not sure how much of that is true. I don't know how many people are now signing up now that it's all out so they can watch it all at once. So I don't think there's a lot of credence to those stories necessarily. And there won't be until we get numbers from people. And we're only going to get numbers from people who want to share, from companies who want to share it with us. Amazon, if Amazon wants us to know what the number one streamed show was on Prime Video, they'll tell us. But we don't have any way to verify unless Amazon decides they want to let us know. So
I think this business about subscribing to Disney Plus and watching Mandalorian and then canceling it goes against the cultural value of Disney for families.
Yeah, I do feel that Disney Plus is a slightly different example.
Oh, absolutely.
And I kind of think, in its way, Netflix stands alone as well. Mm-hmm. Because, like, we don't call it Amazon Prime Video and chill, do we? No, but do you know what I mean?
Because, like, it doesn't sound as good, that's all. Yeah.
One, it doesn't sound as good. Two, yeah. John, I'll explain another time. two... it's, you know, Netflix is kind of the Google of streaming, isn't it?
Yeah. It's sort of turned into like Band-Aid or Kleenex or, you know, iPad.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's the iPad, but from Samsung. It's the iPad, but from Microsoft. Like, it's
exactly.
That kind of thing. Yeah.
I think that's right. And so Netflix, I think, has an advantage, and all the others are kind of playing up.
Yeah.
So to me, it's interesting. As I say, I think Apple's made its USP that it's only original content. Mm-hmm. And the fact that original content seems to do very well on the most popular streaming platform around, as I say, I think looks like it rather endorses Apple's decision.
Yeah.
And it's spending the money it could spend on licensing fees and producing shows that it feels are the best possible shows it can produce.
Yeah.
And we can have our own opinions on that. But that's obviously the strategy, and this seems to give some credence to that strategy.
By the time we've run out of content, Apple will have released a whole lot of new stuff on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah.
Including season 2 of The Morning Show and season 2 of Dickinson. And it's just going to get better and better.
Yeah, definitely.
Also Snoopy.
I am excited about more Snoopy. I think everybody needs more Snoopy than they have right now. So for the most part, I would say, yeah, definitely. Go get some Snoopy. It's pretty great. I will also put out a reminder, if you know somebody who got some Apple gear during the holidays and may not know this, because it turns out I know at least 2 people to whom this was news. Remind folks who got a new iPad or maybe upgraded an Apple TV, or got a new phone or a new computer, that they are eligible for a free year of TV Plus for them to try out.
Yeah, that offer is still in effect. I saw that on a football game.
Yeah, you can still get it.
Yeah.
So if you got some, if somebody in your family got something for Christmas from Apple, there's a good chance that they can cash in their year of TV Plus, and they may want to do that, and you may want to be able to help them.
Just make sure you cash it in on the device you bought. And
yes.
And then it'll percolate to the rest of your Apple ID devices.
Yeah, it's much easier that way. We can we've talked about how to activate it, I think, on the site. So we will make sure that there are links to that in the show notes. And that's going to do it for us today. I will let you know that tomorrow we have the CES preview coming as part of Daily Observations. So we will talk a little bit about what we are expecting next week, what we are hoping for next week. And we will have 2 people on the floor live in Las Vegas. We will have Dave Hamilton and John Braun over there. So the Mac Geek Gab folks are going to come over here and say hi to us at Daily Observations. We're going to talk about that a little bit tomorrow and what next week is going to look like. And with that, I want to thank both of you for being here today. As I say occasionally, you are my favorite combination of TMO panelists. John Martellaro, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. And you 2 are my favorites.
Aw. You're my favorite, John. Don't tell Charlotte. Also with me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte. Thank you for being here.
Whoa, what happened? I'm the favorite, right?
You're my favorite. Don't tell John.
Cool. Happy New Year. Happy whatever day of the week it is. Happy CES.
Yes. We will talk, like as I said, we will talk more about CES tomorrow. That's going to do it for us today. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont, and I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.